If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's been a dark, dark week in the FPL world. There's no poem from me. It's Monday night. I can't be bothered to write one. I'm stuck on 37 points for the game week. It's been horrendous. Welcome to Triple Captain.
Should we just cancel Triple Captain this week? I feel like every single FPL manager has had a bad week this week.
I think it's been a bad one. I mean, first things first, we should welcome Foreground Ben.
Oh, hi.
To the presenting duties tonight. Rich is away.
Yeah.
He's in Portugal. He flew this afternoon.
He's just arrived. He's been telling us it's the only holiday he's had in 2 years.
Wow.
And he's been really making that point. And I did say to him, well, you've been flying to El Salvador, the SPN, and doing this, that, and the other. He's like, that's not a holiday, mate. I can do a bit of Rich for you if you like.
Wow, okay, nice. Yeah, we've got a good impression of Rich there.
Everton are crap. I hate them.
should we have a quick look at his team first? To tell?
Yes.
So I think he did all right. He got 48. So still not actually that good. Really.
And he's dropped down the triple captain fantasy league. He was second last week. He's now gone into fourth with Dead to the World and Last of the Wonder Kids overtaking him.
Nice. I mean, I feel like we were perhaps a little bit too cocky last week with the triple captain, first, second, third. I'm now 16th. One bad week can really, really hurt you.
Yeah, I've managed to stay top, but only by 2 points. Which is Dead to the World catching me up. He got 44 this week. I mean, Rich's team, he hasn't had a terrible week. Abraham up front, he's had him in for a couple of weeks. And he scored 14 points. Salah, he didn't captain him. He captained Sterling, because that was one of his mistakes. But actually, you look at the back, Alderweireld smashed it for Rich.
Yeah, 10 points from Alderweireld. And it proves, like, on a week like that, it really helps to have that differential in there. Because if they score big in a week like this, you're going to be climbing up the ranks more than likely. Although I'd imagine Rich has got a red arrow. But 48, not too bad from him. Shall we just quickly mention mine?
How quickly?
Oh, God. I benched Teemu Pukki. It was a horrendous mistake.
Well, I took him out. I think benching him is probably worse than taking him out.
Well, my thinking behind it was, I thought, if I've got Zinchenko, I thought, well, I'm going to back City to keep a clean sheet. Therefore, Pukki's only going to get 2 points. I thought Sheffield United would keep a clean sheet against Southampton. So I thought, well, I'm going to play Lundstrom, 5 across the back, final punt at big at the back, and none of them delivered. I mean, Alexander-Arnold and Van Dijk got 2 each because of that early goal.
Yeah, I got both of them.
Dean got 0. Zinchenko 1 and Lundstrom 2.
And you know what? I mean, really thought Lundstrom at home against Southampton, I thought it was going to be a big scoring week for him because they've looked great at home.
Yeah, I mean, it was only 1-0, wasn't it? But
yeah.
But yeah, really disappointing. And then obviously Pukki, I mean, a great result to watch as a United fan to see City lose to Norwich. It was a wonderful game.
But yeah.
It was agonising for me having Pukki on the bench. I mean, I was praying that somebody would be benched so he could come on, but it wasn't to be. I mean, although bizarrely, Josh King was my high scorer this week with 10 points. Salah with 9. Sterling was captain, so a blank. And the week that I put De Bruyne in was obviously the week that he got benched.
Is this weird for you, by the way? Now we're a few minutes in that I'm not Rich.
It's all right. Yeah. I'm dealing with it okay, I think.
I don't think we need him.
I don't think we need him
at
all. You are Foreground Ben now.
Foreground Ben for 1 week only.
And you've got the highest rank out of the three of us, so...
That's true.
Really, I should be pushed out. It should be you and Rich. because I'm doing terribly. The big news is my wild card is activated. I'm playing my wild card.
Yeah.
I'm down to 925,000 for overall, which is horrendous. And I said, if I drop below 500k, I've got to pull the wild card. Big changes needed.
You know, before you go into the changes, who are the players that you've got who you're going to keep? Because we've just come back from watching Villa West Ham, and you were saying McGinn might be one of the only survivors in your wild card.
He might be. In my current draft, the survivors of my team are Pope, Alexander-Arnold, Lundstrom, Sterling, De Bruyne and Pukki. Oh, and Dendonka.
Mate, that's a lot.
And Dendonka.
That is a lot of people that you're keeping.
So that's seven players that at the moment I think I might be keeping. If I keep McGinn as well, that'd be eight. Mm. Obviously, that might all change. But I think the fact that I want to get like four or five players in, that's enough for a wild card. And my rank is just bad.
Yeah, so fair enough.
I had to do it. So yeah, it's going to be a week of planning and moving people around and trying to catch price rises. And we'll see what happens. But yeah, what about you this week?
Well, into this game week, I've done something that I never usually like to do. I took a minus four because I looked at it. I thought, I love Pukki, but I don't think he's going to do it against City. I wanted to bring in Pepe because I thought, you know, Lacazette injured. Pepe's probably going to start up front with Aubameyang, which he did.
Yeah, we talked him up on the last pod and I thought he would do better than he did against Watford.
Problem is, he didn't do anything. So he scored 2 points and I took out Pukki and I put Barnes in. So Pukki's, what did he score?
12
points, Barnes 2.
10-point swing there, yeah.
And I also lost Dean, which wasn't actually in the end too bad because Dean didn't score any points, but he's the kind of player you want to keep in for a season. I was really disappointed. I've got 46 points this week. Heaton at the back has just scored me 6 points for Villa, keeping a clean sheet. Maguire actually scored me 6 points, which I was relatively happy about. But again, Van Dijk, Alexander-Arnold, Lundstrom, 2-2-2. For the first week, I actually made the right captain decision between Salah and Sterling. And I've decided the way I'm going to do that going forward with those two, because everyone seems to be having this problem, whoever's at home, I'm going to captain. Just because it's been really annoying me every single week up until now, I've been getting it wrong. Yeah. So I'm just going to do that as a rule just to save my own sanity going forward. De Bruyne, 1 point, McGinn, Pepe, we talked about, and Barnes. So I'm kind of thinking maybe it is a wild card week. I really want to bring in Aubameyang. I think he, despite Arsenal not playing particularly well against Watford the other day, he's the kind of player that scores points in a bad team and a bad game week.
Yeah, I mean, I said it all along that I think he'll be there or thereabouts, top scorer in the league again come the end of the season. And he just scores goals. And Lacazette's out till, I think, mid-October. So Aubameyang's going to be playing up front, and Arsenal have got brilliant fixtures.
Yeah.
Apart from the United game, but Aubameyang could easily score against United.
Mm.
And I mean, I'd love Aguero as well. But I think if you've got Sterling and De Bruyne, then there's room for Aubameyang. And Aubameyang is also 1.1 million cheaper than Aguero.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna put everything behind Aubameyang now. I'm going to take another minus four hit this week. Barnes, sorry, mate. Really, really annoyed with you. That I took Pukki out to put you in. I'm so annoyed that you only scored 2 points. So I'm going to take the minus four. Pepe, you're gone as well. Basically, everything I did last week, I'm going to change. And I'm going to bring in Aubameyang up front. And I think it's got to be Cantwell. Just for that kind of price. That's the kind of price range I'm looking at.
Yeah, I think especially if you're going without Pukki, then Cantwell's a great option from Norwich. I mean, I think the reason that I'm not looking at Cantwell is because I've got Pukki. And I think going with double Norwich is a little bit of a risk. I know they're playing well and I know they play great attacking football, but they could have a few bad weeks. And then if you've got two stinking out your team, then it's not going to be good. So, but I think that's a good move if you haven't got Pukki.
I'm still the first week below average, but still 37,388th. So that's all right.
That is very good. I would snap your arm off for that at the start of the season. So
only September. Good. You know, there's a long way to go.
There's a long way to go. There's no need to panic yet. Although I kind of am panicking as I've played a wild card and I'm thinking about going without Mane or Salah.
You know what? We're going to talk about that later, aren't we?
Yes. So first talking point is premium defenders out, premium attackers in. Who are the best bargain defenders? And was it somebody tweeted you this saying, are the days of the clean sheet over?
Yeah. Well, if you look, I mean, yeah, so tonight Villa and West Ham 0-0. Should have been a number of Villa goals, bearing in mind West Ham went down to 10 men as well. Whatever. Ugh, that's just being a Villa fan. But there's only three other clean sheets apart from that. And you go, hang on, in Premier League, that's not that many.
No.
And if you look back through the game weeks, are the days of the clean sheet over?
Talking point two, we're going to discuss our favourite head-to-head battles.
Okay.
So Aubameyang versus Aguero, Mane versus Salah, and Son versus KDB.
Which has just got interesting this week.
It's got very interesting after KDB was benched. And then talking point three is the European fixtures. How do you tackle them? Are people going to get rested, et cetera, et cetera?
Great.
So
let's do it.
So yeah, first of all, I mean, look, are we jumping the gun here?
With what? Talking about premium attackers in, premium defenders out.
First of all, do you think that should be the way to go right
well,
now?
Well, you know, we've been saying it from the start of the season that, you know, look at the bargain attackers and get in your premium defenders. Actually, it seems to have all turned round. It feels like those premium defenders aren't coming through. Liverpool letting a goal against Newcastle at home.
That was a brilliant goal, though. I mean, those kind of goals are rare, and Newcastle didn't have a sniff aside from that. So you could argue Liverpool were unlucky again, and I think they've been unlucky with a few of their matches and not keeping clean sheets. But
But then you look at that, you know, Wolves at home. How did Chelsea score five goals against Wolves at home?
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, yes, again, there's some decent goals in there. Tammy's hat-trick, obviously Tammy scored one himself, own goal, which is nice to see.
Probably helps us.
Yeah, really helped us out. You know, Man City, a lot of people are looking. Yes, we talked about Laporte, but a lot of people are looking at the other Man City defenders. They didn't come through for us. But I don't know. In terms of how much money I spent on premium defenders, I've got Van Dijk, Alexander-Arnold, and Maguire, who actually did come through with a clean sheet. But Van Dijk and Alexander-Arnold, bearing in mind you're spending 7 million on the one, 6.5 million on the other, and they get a combined 4 points between them. You know, game week four was the week where they absolutely slammed it out of the park. But before that, game week three, Van Dijk 2, Alexander-Arnold 5. Game week two, Van Dijk 2, Alexander-Arnold 1.
Yeah, I mean, I think with Alexander-Arnold, you've got one of the best value players in the game because of his attacking ability. I mean, he gets forward all the time. He's on set pieces. If Liverpool keep a clean sheet and he gets his usual assist or whatever, that's, you know, 11, 12 points, which I can't think of a midfielder at the moment at that price who is better value. I mean, I suppose striker-wise, you'd look at Pukki and say he's about the same price as TAA now. They're probably about on par, I would say, value-wise over the season.
Mm.
But particularly with Liverpool's fixtures coming up as well, I can't see that many clean sheets. So Van Dijk's got to go for me. Luka Dean, I love Luka Dean. I think he's a great player. But if downgrading him means that I can get somebody like Aubameyang further forward, then he's got to go. Everton are playing crap, aren't they, at the moment? I mean, they lost 3-1 to Bournemouth, which is a poor result. So they're not keeping clean sheets.
Mm.
So really, with your defenders, you've got to have the clean sheets as well as the attacking returns.
Yeah.
And at the moment, they're not doing that. And so Zinchenko's got to go for me as well because his place is under threat from Mendy. I feel like it's a good time for me to play my wild card with fixtures changing.
Yeah.
Mendy coming back. You know, things like that happening. It's much more exciting having those attacking players as well, isn't it?
It is.
You don't want to be nail-biting hoping for a clean sheet.
Well, I mean, looking purely, in terms of premium defenders, looking purely at total points up until now. So we are recording this literally after game week five's just finished. It takes you to 18th until you find a defender. And that's Vestergaard for Southampton. The next defender that comes in is Alexander-Arnold. So Alexander-Arnold, 24 points. Vestergaard, 27 points. But then actually, Luka Dean is in there next. But then Van Aanholt, you know, it's actually the cheaper defenders who are scoring more points than the premiums. I mean, it takes you... I mean, Tyrone Mings has got exactly the same points as Virgil van Dijk.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure the tide will turn and it will level out a bit more. But the question you've got to ask yourself is, do you ride it out and hope for the change, or do you just go with what is happening at the moment and on current form, and get those attackers in? And I think that's what I'm definitely going to do on my wild card. I think.
Yeah, it feels like the kind of season where anybody can score a goal. And I think that a result like you get at with Man City losing to Norwich the weekend, I think that makes every single player in the Premier League think, oh my God, it's a bit like the Leicester moment when Leicester did so well. It suddenly just adds so much spice, results like that.
It's going to really encourage teams, isn't it, to have a bit of a go at City. Mm. And that could be great for FPL if you've got City's attacking assets, because it will probably mean that they get even more goals if teams are leaving spaces at the back.
Yeah.
But it also means there's going to be more excitement in games, because suddenly it's like, well, they're beatable. Norwich have just beaten them and they haven't got Laporte. So teams are going to have a bit of a go at them. So you perhaps don't need to worry as much if one of your players is playing City. Don't bench them if it's Pookie. I've learned that this week. So yeah, I mean, let's have a look anyway if people are thinking that. I mean, please send us tweets if you're still back in the premium defender, big at the back strategy, and tell us why, because I'd love to have that discussion at Triple Captain 3 on Twitter. Let's have a look at 4.5 million defenders. Who would you pick in your team now, bargain defender-wise? Let's say 5 million and under. Who would you go for?
So, I mean, I'm a Villa fan, so I'm going to say Tyrone Mings. I think he's a good option,
yeah.
And I also think that Gilbert is a really good shout as well. He's come in this season. He had a bit of a slow start to the season for Villa, but actually he drives up the pitch a lot. He nearly scored tonight with his head. And, you know, he's that kind of player. He's going to start every game.
He did well in pre-season, didn't he, as well? He got quite a few assists. There was a bit of talk about him, and then he didn't start the season. I think El Mohamedy started at right back.
Mm-hmm. And Elmo came on tonight and made a difference, but Gilbert's always going to get that starting spot, I think.
Do you think?
Yeah.
You heard it here first. That's from a Villa fan as well. So I'm really interested in Gilbert after this, because if there's a 4.5 million defender with a bit of attacking ability as well, same with Baldock at Sheffield United and Ender Stevens as well, they get forward, they're going to get the odd assist, and if their team keeps a clean sheet and they win 1-0, they're going to get bonus points as well, clean sheet points. Suddenly you're looking at, you know, 12 to 15 points from a 4.5 million defender, so that could be gold, you know. So I'm really interested in Gilbert as well. The reason I perhaps wouldn't go for the Sheffield United defender is because I've got Lundstrom. I wouldn't want two. But those two appeal to me. Yeah, Gilbert appeals to me. Mings is good. What about Soyuncu at Leicester?
You know what? I was just looking at him because he's still only picked by 4.5% of people. And I thought that'd be a lot more by now.
So did I.
Because he's done really well. He's on 17 points for the season. Yeah, he only got two against United because they lost. But I think he's a great shout. And he's just big, he's tough. He's a bit like Tyrone Mings, where he's just aggressive and you just know that he's going to come out and play 100% every single game. But at the same time, Leicester's fixtures aren't particularly good coming up. Well, and they did just get beaten by United. Yeah, okay, it was at Old Trafford, but as we've been talking about on the podcast, United haven't been particularly great this season so far.
But they turn, don't they? Leicester's fixtures turn after the Liverpool game. I mean, they've got Newcastle at home in game week 7, which could quite easily be a clean sheet. Then they've got Liverpool away, which you'd ignore them for. But from game week 9 to game week 17, they only play Arsenal out of the top 6.
Yeah.
There could be some clean sheets in there for Soyuncu. And at 4.5 million, he's 4.6 million now. I think I put him in my wildcard team on Saturday night before his rise to 4.6 million. Mm. For that price, he could be great value. And, you know, I'm happy to bench him for the Liverpool game and put one of my other players in.
Yeah.
That's the luxury that you have when you've got those cheaper defenders. You can rotate them and you don't worry too much about it.
Looking at that 4.5 million price point, there's actually a lot there.
Yeah, which we didn't think there was at the start of the season, did we?
Like West Ham, for example, Ogbonna, I can't never say this guy's name.
Masuaku.
I know he got sent off against Villa tonight.
Yeah.
At the same time, you know, he's on 18 points overall, Masuaku. How did he get three tonight?
I like Diop for West Ham as well. And what about Tomori at Chelsea? Young Tomori.
Yeah, well, of course, he scored at the Molineux. I mean,
it was a worldie. You wouldn't put him in for his goal scoring ability, but a 4.5 million, although they haven't kept a clean sheet all season, their fixtures after their next game against Liverpool are pretty good. And if he keeps his place, again, you know, a great option, because if they get it together and do keep a few clean sheets, that's, you know, a top six side, a 4.5 million defender.
Yeah.
I also like Ward at Crystal Palace. Talking about Palace defenders last pod,
yeah,
weren't
we? Were. Obviously, they fell apart this week.
Yes, Palace. They were terrible against
Spurs. I mean, I didn't see the game. What was it? Was it just Son being on absolutely amazing form?
Or... Son scored a couple of great goals. I think Spurs kind of blew them away in that first half. I only saw the goals, but that is what I'm hearing. And I think kind of what happened, they just blasted them in that first half. And Palace will have the odd game like that when they go away and they collapse. But at home, and normally Roy keeps a very tight ship.
Yeah.
And their next three fixtures are pretty decent. They're always going to make it difficult for teams, aren't they? I think Spurs was a bit of a blip. But
you know,
then they do have very tough fixtures from 9 to 13. So you'd perhaps not put them in yet, because there's a few other options there. But yeah, a Palace defender, a West Ham defender,
Villa West Ham, yeah.
So what about Southampton? What about someone like Bednarek at 4.5?
I think Southampton, I can't believe that they're 10th in the table.
Well, Angus Gunn's the top scoring goalkeeper, isn't he, so far, I think. Or maybe,
oh, really?
Maybe Heaton is now after that clean sheet.
But... I mean, oh, I've got it. I just can't see Southampton. I mean, what's that? 5 games, 2 wins, 1 draw, 2 losses. I think they've had a lucky start. I think we're gonna see Southampton relegated.
Yeah,
easily,
I mean, you could be right. Yeah, I mean, two top scoring goalkeepers at the moment are Angus Gunn and David De Gea.
Wow.
I mean, who'd have thought that at the start of the season?
Yeah. You know what? In terms of premium versus budget, I'm now gonna have one premium defender. If I was to play my wild card this week, I'd have one premium defender, and that's Trent Alexander-Arnold.
Yeah.
And I'd pack the rest with 4.5, 5 million for the rest of those four slots, because then that gives you so much more money to spend on players like, we're going to talk about it next, but the head-to-heads, maybe you can have Son and KDB if you have a load of 4.5 million. You put Tyrone Mings in there, Gilbert in there, you know.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm thinking of doing now. Yeah, I'd like to keep Luca Dean as well, and I might do that. But at the moment, I agree. I think pack it with these 4.5 million bargain defenders and hope for the odd clean sheet. But really, it's going to be the rest of your team where you're going to get all those big points. So yeah, so should we move on to talking point two? Let's talk about Aubameyang versus Aguero. Who would you have right now if you had to pick one?
I think Aubameyang is standing out in a team that's very, very average around him. And I think from a fantasy Premier League perspective, if you've got a player who's scoring points in what is a very average team like that, I just think he's going to keep on doing it.
Yeah. Out of the top five leagues in Europe, Arsenal have conceded the most shots out of every team in the top five leagues in Europe. They conceded 31 shots against Watford. They're going to need to score goals to stay in games. And he's the only option, really, for me. I still think Pepe will score some goals.
Oh, I brought him in. I'm so disappointed. But
He might come good, though. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily rush to put it to... I think if you put someone in, if you make a transfer, you've got to give them at least 4 or 5 weeks.
He's so expensive, though.
I think he's too much money when Son and KDB are in the game.
But watching him, he plays on the wing a lot, Pepe. You know, Aubameyang, when he plays on the wing, still has that goal threat. Pepe doesn't. He's putting a lot of balls in. He's offloading it a lot. I just don't... I'm gutted, because I really... Especially as he started up front with Aubameyang, I really thought this would be a good week. And I was thinking, oh, rubbish Saturday. Don't worry, I've got 9.4 million Pepe coming on tomorrow.
I don't think he's worth that at the moment. And I think it's too much of a risk putting him in when Aubameyang is better. I'm inclined to agree with you. I mean, if it is just a straight bat... If Aubameyang and Aguero were the same price, I'd probably go Aguero. But Aubameyang's 1.1 million cheaper.
Yeah.
Arsenal's fixtures are gold. He's their talisman, whereas City's points tend to be more shared, don't they? With Arsenal, he's the man. And I think if you've got Sterling and De Bruyne, then you probably can get away with going without Aguero if you've got Aubameyang.
Mm.
And I think that's the route I'm going to go down.
Mm.
You know, I think you look at Liverpool, the points are going to be shared between Mane, Salah and Firmino.
Yeah.
with City, the points are going to be shared with between Aguero, Sterling, De Bruyne, David Silva.
Maybe he's a cheap option, by the way, David Silva.
David Silva is a cheap option, maybe a bit of Jesus. With Arsenal, the points aren't going to be shared, I don't think. It's going to be Aubameyang, particularly while Lacazette is out.
Yeah.
So,
and I learned that harsh lesson this week.
I think you and me have talked ourselves into it.
Speaking of Liverpool, Mane versus Salah. I've changed my mind on this as well.
I think I have as well. And I don't know. I mean, I'm being very knee-jerky because it is only 1 week. But if you look at the stats between Mane and Salah, Mane's consistently scoring more goals than him now.
Yeah.
He looked more of a threat against Newcastle than Salah did.
Well, Salah was hardly there. And you know what? Salah's goal came in the 72nd minute. And I was thinking, he ain't going to do it here.
It also seems to me, I mean, particularly as after Mane kicking off with him last week for not passing to him, it seems to me that the players around him are starting to get a little bit frustrated with him, with his greediness. Mm. And that might make him even less of an FPL. If he does listen to them and starts passing a bit more, that could make him less of an asset. Also, if the players around you are getting pissed off, that's not going to be great for your form. And Mane looks such a threat. I mean,
yeah, he does.
He could have had a hat trick. I think he's the better option. I mean, at the moment, I'm going without either of them in my current draft, but that might change.
Yeah, now that's interesting.
That could be silly.
I mean, looking at it, in terms of the money as well, Salah was, I think, the third best. He's still great. He got a goal.
Yeah, he's still great.
He's involved. But I think he was the third best player on the pitch for Liverpool. Mane number one, Firmino number two, then Salah. But you're spending 12.5 million on Salah. And that does cripple a lot of other choices. Mm. So I think, what's Mane?
11.6 now.
11.6.
Yeah.
I think you still got to have one of them.
If I go without Mane and Salah, that is a big risk.
Mm.
But if there is a time to do it, it might be now. They've got Chelsea away, then they've got Sheffield United, then Leicester, then they've got United away, then they've got Spurs at home, then Villa away, and then City at home.
Yeah.
So there's some tough fixtures in there.
Mm.
Are you going to captain Salah or Mane against Chelsea, against United, against Spurs, against City? Probably not.
Yeah.
So do you go without them? It's a big risk, but I'm 925k. It's the time to be taking those risks. And, well, you know, you live and die by your decisions, don't you? So.
Okay. Well, the head-to-head is Mane or Salah. So you're saying you might not have either, but if you had to pick one.
If I had to pick one right now, I'd pick Mane value.
Yep, and I've got Salah, and that's why it's these kind of things that make me think, play a wild card.
Yeah, because then you don't have that thing of, well, do I just get rid of Salah for Mane? Yep. Because then Salah scores a hat trick and you're kicking yourself. But if you play the wild card and you go without either of them, you think, well, you know.
Okay, well, final head-to-head of this week then, Son versus Kevin De Bruyne. Are they exactly the same price?
No, so De Bruyne's 0.3 more. Now, this is a really difficult one. And at the moment, I've got Son and De Bruyne in the current draft of my wildcard team. And I really like the look of having them both. If I had to pick one, right now, I would still pick De Bruyne. I mean, he's one of the best players in the Premier League, if not the best player in the Premier League.
Mm-hmm.
City's fixtures are still good. I think it will put people off that they lost to Norwich, but it's a blip, let's face it. Attacking-wise, they are one of the best, if not the best team in the league.
Yeah.
Them and Liverpool. But then Son is explosive, isn't he? He can score 2-3 goals a game.
And you know what? What we were saying about Aubameyang earlier, you know, having to step up for Arsenal, I think we talked about it. I think our Game Week 4 episode was called Get Kane Out, because something I shouted in the background. Kane has been absolutely useless this season. The internet, and you know what, though? I said it ages ago. I just don't rate the guy. In the international break, they can say, yeah, he scored 3 goals for England. 2 of them were penalties. And he is the best penalty taker, but for me, by far. Better than Aguero, better than anyone.
Him and Rashford are pretty good, aren't they?
I think Kane is unbelievable. But how many opportunities is he going to get to do that? He's not scoring in open play, so that puts the pressure on Son to step up. I mean, I've got a question for you in Son versus KDB. You're a stats man. Does it matter to you that KDB is selected by, oh, hang on, I'm just accidentally about to transfer out KDB for Ericsson. No.
Do not do that.
Do not do that.
35% owned, isn't he, KDB?
Yeah.
And Son is 4.8% owned.
And does that make a difference to you in terms of choosing one or the other?
It does in terms of, like, protecting my rank. So, for instance, if I was at your rank, 37K, I would be keeping KDB. I wouldn't be moving him out for Son, because if KDB scores big and you don't have him, you're going to drop in rank, yeah, likely because of the high ownership. If he does badly, a lot of the teams around you have got him anyway, so it doesn't make as much of a difference. Whereas at the moment, because I'm so low, I need to do something different.
Right.
And if I think Son is going to score more than KDB over the next 5-6 game weeks, then I pick Son, because it will make a big difference. It will get me up the ranks. But as I say, I'm looking at having both of them in my team for the next few.
Yeah.
Son looks great. I really want Son in my team. I think he looks good. Spurs have got good fixtures. They battered Palace. He's clinical. And like you say, he's having to step up because Kane isn't scoring the goals.
Yeah. So if you had to choose...
Oh, if I had to choose right now, I'm going to say Heung-Min Son.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to go KDB.
Okay.
We've talked about it before. Rich is convinced that you've just got to have him in. So yeah. I've got to represent Rich's view here. Hope you're having a nice holiday, mate.
Yeah.
You
better be listening. Yeah, don't get me wrong. I'm not going to take him out of my team on the wild card.
Mm. We're just trying to squeeze both in.
But I'd like to squeeze both in. So let's briefly touch on the European fixtures. What do you think in terms of FPL? Do you think it's going to affect our teams? Does it affect any of the premium assets?
Well, yes, and it's annoying that it does, because obviously we saw KDB benched because of the internationals. Of course, the same thing, rotations, etc., are going to happen with the Champions League and, of course, the big Europa League that everyone's talking about.
Come on, United.
But I think in terms of the kind of major assets, I think City are probably the team you've got to worry about the most.
In terms of rotation?
In terms of rotation. And what I mean by that is Aguero. That's another reason Aubameyang will always start, because he has to. Aguero, I think, will see playing a lot in the Champions League. It might affect his... I mean, at the same time, though, they aren't league leaders at the moment. So actually, do you look at it as Pep and go, do we give Jesus a good run out in the Champions League and save Aguero for the league?
I think there's a good chance of that. I think he's favoured Jesus in Europe.
I mean, look at... God, City's group. Atalanta, Dynamo Zagreb, and then Shakhtar Donetsk. And you go, right, okay, that's not a very difficult group. So you got to think, actually, in that group, he could be bringing in players you don't... Rodrigo, for example, hasn't appeared loads in the league at the moment. Great goal at the weekend. But will he start giving those younger lads and newer players into Man City with an easy group like that more of a chance? I mean, who else have we got?
Probably, yeah. I think he probably will use that as an opportunity to rest players, because especially as they find themselves 5 points behind Liverpool already. It's going to be really interesting watching those lineups, and I think really you shouldn't read into it too much. I think you should still pick the players that you think are going to score you the most points, and not think, oh God, Sterling played 90 minutes in Europe, he might not start. There's always that chance with the big players, even with players like Salah and Mane. There's a chance Klopp, you know, drops one of them for Shaqiri in an easy Premier League fixture. And obviously, don't make your final decisions until after the Champions League, after the European games, because there's a chance a player gets injured.
Yeah, true.
People that make the moves early to try and catch a price rise or whatever could get punished if their player then gets injured. And I think it's better to be patient at this stage. And they're not going to, at the moment, they're not going to rest their best players. It's still early on in the season. Pep was silly to rest De Bruyne. I don't think he'll make that mistake again.
No.
Should we do a couple of questions?
Yeah. So the first one is from Josh. how can I cheat the FPL app to give me my triple captain back?
Well, unfortunately, you can't. I mean, I would have cautioned against playing it so early on in a single game week. I normally wait for a double, but unlucky, yeah. I guess.
So this is from Lewis. Is it worth using my wild card now to get rid of leaky defence, or will Liverpool and Everton start showing they can keep clean sheets like last season?
It depends on your rank. I mean, if you're below 500k like me, I would do it. I'd get your wild card triggered and stop the horrible flow of bad form. But if you're in the top 500k, have a look at your team. Think, do I want to make 5 or 6 changes? If you don't need to, then just hold on, stay patient, because it only takes one good week. I mean, I fell 700,000 places in 1 week, so I could quite easily it hurts.
Yeah,
I could quite easily get that back with one good game week.
Looking at Everton, I think we will start seeing Liverpool keep a few more. But just looking at Everton's fixtures, it's actually not bad for the next few weeks. Everton are better at home defensively. Am I right in thinking that?
They yes,
tend to
they
be
are.
Better. They've got Sheffield United at home. Then Man City do come to Goodison. But then Burnley away, West Ham at home, Brighton away, Spurs, Southampton, Norwich. I think actually Everton have got a decent fixture run for the next few weeks.
Yeah, if you're not on a wild card, I would hold Luca Dean. I think I've just got it in my head now that I only want the one premium, and it's more than likely going to be Alexander-Arnold.
Yeah.
So, but then I kind of think as well, is Dean at 6.1 million better value than someone like McNeil at Burnley for 6 million or McGinn at Villa for 5.6? Dean is still probably better value than other midfielders in his price bracket. Although I'd probably prefer Mason Mount right now to Luca Dean. So that's what you kind of have to measure it on. Are you gonna take him out for a 6 million midfielder or a 6 million attacker that is going to score higher than him? Probably not.
I've got so much to think about this week.
So have I. I mean, I've got to change my whole team.
last question, Charlos. Did Haller do anything against Villa? Are you still backing him?
Haller did nothing against Villa. But I'd still back him for the next few weeks.
Yeah.
I think West Ham have got decent fixtures. And haven't we got a voice note as well from...
We do.
You all right, Luke and Ben? It's Rich here. Sorry, I can't be with you for the recording this week. I'm currently in Stansted Airport. I've got 4 days in Portugal, so I should be very refreshed for next week's recording. But in the meantime, I've been thinking of some questions for you to ask. The big one this week for me being... do you want me to pick up any giant Toblerones or vodka from the duty free? Let me know.
Yes.
Yes to
always.
Both. Yes to both, please, Rich.
Yeah.
Giant Toblerone and vodka will hopefully get us through the next game week. Let's hope we're not sat with our head in our hands again next week.
I feel good for both of us. I think your wild card will pay off for me. Who knows?
Who knows?
-4, -8, maybe even a wild card.
Good luck, everybody. Hope you enjoyed this week. Send us your voice notes in triplecaptain@soundrebel.co.uk, and you can get us on Twitter @triplecaptain3. We're on Instagram as well, and I think we're going to be out and about doing a bit of filming as well, aren't we?
We are. Ben,
yeah.
Triple Captain TV.
Yeah.
Coming soon.
So keep an eye out for us if you're in Liverpool. I might be coming up to you and asking you about FPL, so we'll see how that goes. And Rich, you may be out of a job depending on our listens this week. Now foreground Ben,
I'm not sure I want to do it again. It's too much pressure. I've done this for years.
I think you've done really well.
Thanks, mate. Very kind of you.
Good luck, everybody, for game week 6.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key, and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.